I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
Welcome to Hacker Voice Radio, episode 21 on the, what is it now, the 7th of September 2005. Who have we here?
Hello!
Hello!
Who else would it be? It's the one and only filth-talking Planetly.
Yes. Right. Well,
zero content, but a shitload of cupcakes. Oh yeah.
Do you have any news for us or any emails?
I've got something that I just stumbled upon literally 2 minutes ago.
Cool.
And if you want to find out about this, go to news.bbc.co.uk. Go to their technology section, and it's one of the top stories there.
Yeah.
It's still quite recent, and it says here, Apple unveils iPod phone hybrid.
Right.
So the rumours are true. Apple have got Motorola to do them a phone, which will be kind of an iPod and a phone all in one.
Right.
So it's announced by Apple boss Steve, the Steve Man Jobs. Mm-hmm. I added that little nickname bit. The device will be able to store about 100 songs and play them out randomly, just like the iPod Shuffle.
Sure. But it comes in two varieties, 2 and 4 gig, and is half the thickness of the Mini that it replaces.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck. What, the Shuffle?
No, the Mini, the iPod phone.
All right.
Yeah.
You know about this?
Yeah.
Oh, just stumbled across it now. I thought,
cool.
Wow, fuck, they were right.
Yeah.
Because this has been something people have been talking about for a long, long time.
Sure.
You know, rumours and, you know, hey, how cool would it be if Apple did this and blah, 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 blah. But they are doing it.
Okay.
So apparently it goes on sale tomorrow, September the 8th, and it's going to set you back about $250.
Wow.
If you're in the States. That's apparently 136 English
million
pounds.
Billion
dollars. it says you do have to sign up for a 2-year contract, which does suck balls.
Yeah.
It's a long time to have a single phone.
I'm not surprised.
What's it say here? The phones are available in the UK from the 15th, so the States get it a week first.
Yeah.
I've not read all of it because I was just quite surprised they have actually done it. So expect everyone to be buying this bloody phone soon and hanging around trying to be trendy, saying, oh, look at my phone.
Yeah.
It's got MP3s on it. Whereas there are a shitload of phones that can do that anyway.
Well, I mean, you could just have a mobile phone that plays MP3s and has a good solid camera on it, and then you could have a really, really good MP3 player in your other pocket. I don't know. It's fucking iPod. What are they calling it? Gonna call it the phone pod or something like that. Fuck knows.
No, they're calling it the rocker. R-O-K-R.
Excuse me while I vomit.
Yeah. I really thought it'd be like iPhone, but maybe they're saving that for the future.
Maybe. You phone, iPhone, we phone.
We all phone together.
Yeah.
How about yourself? Any content? Any news?
Yes, let me just call our representative resident American. Oh, fuck. These tones are coming through, aren't they? Let me just do this without tones.
Can't hear anything.
You can't, but everyone else can.
I can't, but I generally can't hear fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway. You keep cutting out. I can barely hear Scobie whenever he's on.
Ah, well. Stop downloading all that porn, man.
Sorry.
All right, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second.
No problem.
Hello.
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 I got it, Graham.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, yeah. Onyx.
It's for me.
Okay.
That was cool.
Guest appearance by my lovely grandmother.
Can we have your grandmother on the show?
We could.
That would be excellent.
She could tell us about how difficult it is to program a VCR.
Yeah. Let me just get our good friend Planet back.
Sounds good.
Hello.
Okay,
we're back in action, and let me kick off with some news.
Right.
A company is to settle and mine Mars. Wired is reporting that a new startup is planning to colonize and mine Mars by 2025. From the article, the new company, Four Frontiers, plans to mine Mars for building material and energy sources, and then to export the planet's minerals, wealth, to forthcoming space stations and on the moon and elsewhere and all that kind of good stuff. That's fucking cool. You know, I hope I'll be, conscious by that time.
That sounds like a really, really optimistic deadline.
Yes. Oh, let's say a few more years.
Sure, why not? Yeah. And with fuel costs the way that they are, they're going to need some serious startup capital.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
By the way, we've
filling your tank with diesel costs enough. Let alone filling your space rocket and fucking off to Mars.
Sure.
With a shitload of mining equipment.
Not to mention the shipping costs back.
Yeah.
Although I think FedEx by 2016 is going to have a FedEx service to Mars.
Really? Wow.
According to their corporate webpage.
Cool. That should be like a very long trip for your jumpers and your hoodies and everything.
That's more than 2 to 8 weeks.
You positively have to have it there 6 months from now.
Yes. Would you like the warp speed version or the standard ionosphere version?
Or now they're going to ship via giant slingshot.
Yes.
Cutting-edge technology.
Mm.
What is there on Mars that we want to mine?
I don't know.
That we want to mine.
There's probably something there that they found that we don't know about.
I should certainly hope so.
Yeah.
They get up there, they're like, ah, crap, it's a bunch of rocks.
Shit, we've got this stuff on Earth. Fuck it.
Yeah, well, what are we going to do with a crap load of iron?
Yeah.
No, you know what they're going to do is they're going to start mining the Mars rocks.
Yeah.
Putting them in fancy boxes and just selling them as Mars rocks.
Yeah.
Eventually.
That'd probably work.
Eventually, Earth will become so fucking condensed with Mars rocks that it's just going to be like another planet.
Well, we can always sell the Martians Earth rocks.
Yes. Just sell them some air.
They could use it.
Yes.
This just all sounds too much like Total Recall.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
If I'm not me, who the hell am I? I've been holding that in since you started that news story.
Okay. Just had to let it rip.
Yep, had to let it out.
Cool.
We can't even get a probe there without smashing it into the surface.
That's true.
How the fuck do you expect to mine the surface?
I wonder how much they're going to pay the first guy to get there.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to shoot you straight at the planet. If everything goes right, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Of course, we can't use a monkey. That'd be cruelty.
Yeah. And in Uberlito laptop news... I think this has been floating around many forums. The 6.8 gigahertz, 1 terabit RAM, 2 terabit hard disk, laptop. Research and development company Atomchip have announced a new 2.6.8 1 terabit RAM and 2 terabit hard disk laptop. It's so hard for me even to say this shit because it's in terabits. Which is coming soon. Apparently, it does not use hard disk. Instead, it uses a base of solid state Atom chip. Optio Electronics, a new non-violet quantum optical. Sorry, a new.
Quantum optical?
Non-volatile quantum optical processing system.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's fake.
I heard it was a hoax.
I think it's a fucking hoax.
I didn't want to be the first person to say it, but...
Yeah. If this is real, then, you know, this is pretty fucking cool. But,
yeah.
Hoax much?
I hope it utilizes quantum hard drive encryption.
Yeah. Yes. Let's see, the password could be this, or it could be that, or it could be both at the same time. You know, it's just quantum.
Or
man.
It could be both of them. But not at all.
Yes.
And in two places.
At the same time. Yes. Which dimension do you want to browse in now?
Would you like to set up your password for 5 or 12 dimensions?
Yes.
Yeah, the USB input to it is going to be a space-time portal.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, we'll throw in a popcorn machine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if it works, hell.
Yeah, fucking I'll buy it.
I'll be sure to nick one of those.
Yeah. I mean, the main topic for the show, I was hoping to do a little networking 101.
Okay.
Basically, just, you know... Even if you're a noob or even if you know your stuff, it's always good to go back to basics and, you know, start from the beginning. Because I know when I was doing it, I thought I knew something. But then when you really go back to the ones and zeros, you kind of ferment those foundations. And anyone is...
Okay, can I give one bit of news before we dive into it?
Go ahead.
It's something that I heard about twice today, and it really kind of pisses me off. It involves Yahoo Incorporated.
Right.
Apparently they helped the Chinese government convict and jailed a journalist who wrote an email about Chinese press restrictions. The Sunnyvale, California-based Yahoo, through Yahoo Holdings in Hong Kong, gave Chinese information to trace a private Yahoo email allegedly containing state secrets. The guy was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And as a suspicious little side note, last month Yahoo bought 40% of China's biggest e-commerce firm for $1 billion.
Wow, that's some pretty fucked up shit right there.
Yeah. Boycott Yahoo.
Definitely. Or spoof your emails. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, you'd think if you were, a Chinese journalist who could get 10 years in prison for this sort of thing, you would
spoof your shit, yeah.
But US.
I'm more pissed that an American corporation would take some of our most fundamental rights and completely disregard them in the name of Chinese money.
Oh,
not surprising. But
yeah, when would they ever disregard things for money? I mean, come on. What is money, really? It's not the root of all evil.
Ethics? I think I took that course once.
Yeah.
All right, anyhow, to the networking.
The networking, yes. Basically, it's just going to be a overview of the, you know, from the beginning to the end of networking, how it works. I'm not going to go into the security side of things, you know, if this is secure, if it's not. It's just basically how it's done and why it works like that. You're free to jump in at any time, both of you, and stop me if you feel the need to. And also, if anyone wishes to have more information on this, they're free to ask me, and I'll try and answer their questions in as much detail as I can if I have the time. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Right, to start off with, the basic networking structure is a computer, a cable, and a network card. Pretty fucking simple. So basically, you have one computer and another computer. They both have network cards inside them, and they're linked by a crossover cable. That's pretty simple. That's the basic system. That's as simple as you can get it.
Okay, so we weren't starting with dial-up then.
No.
Okay.
So what a network card is? A network card is usually called by a NIC or a network interface card. It's governed by a MAC address, which stands for Media Access Control. Now, what a MAC address is? It's a fixed name of. It's a fixed identity of that card. The first section of it is written in hex. And that will be the manufacturer's ID. The second section of it is a unique identifier for that card. Now, hopefully, with a bit of luck, each card will have a unique number. I have found it in my life of IT that we had a whole batch of all the same MAC addresses. That was interesting. Try fucking troubleshooting that shit.
Any clue as to why?
Just a wrong batch in the production.
Oh.
Yeah, now that's basically your frontier. That's your first step of networking. Second step is how the shit connects together. The first step would be a peer-to-peer network. Now this is the management of peer-to-peer network is decentralized. So the administration of it is decentralized. It's all on each machine that's connected. They're usually in a matrix hierarchy. And they would equal to a mesh or a linked topology, if you like. Mm-hmm. Like peer-to-peer networks are, really. They're decentralized networks. The next one would be a domain network, where you have a fixed hierarchy system of control. So you would have a domain controller, and then a secondary controller, domain controllers, and then the clients at the bottom. And that would actually be centralized management. Now, I'll explain what centralized and decentralized management means later. Let's flip over this. I've got like 20, 15 pages of notes that I've written up. Right. Physical topology. To start off with, you have all these things connecting to something, somehow. The basic one would be a hub. Now, there's two different hubs. There's active hubs and non-active hubs. Now, back in the day, you had active hubs. The reason they were called that is because they were powered by a power source as repeaters and stuff. But now, it's just one word. It's hub. Now, they're all connected either by a bus, star, or hybrid, or mesh, or token ring topology. Now, these are all different ways and different forms of connecting loads of machines together. The most common is a hybrid connection. You can actually view that if you go into ipconfig or ifconfig eth0, and you can view which type of connection you have. Now, you'd have a logical bus protocol, which is Ethernet, and that runs on the 802.3 protocol, and it stands. And there's a nice little shortening to it that I don't think a lot of people know is CSMA over CD. Now that stands for correction sends multiple access collision detection. It's kind of complex. What that means is that is no one can send one packet. No one can send a packet at the same time down the wire. Only one packet can be on the wire at one time. So what happens is, in a millisecond, that is checked by the protocol. Is there a packet on the wire? If no, then send packet. If yes, wait 3 milliseconds. And that is repeated over and over again. That's basically that. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that before. You probably did.
A bit, yeah.
Okay, cool. let's say, dynamic IPs are assigned by the DHCP server. DHCP server issues dynamic IPs on a lease to a client. That I won't go into too much detail on that. Basically, a client broadcasts to a DHCP server saying, hey, I need an IP, I need an identity, this is my MAC address, you can talk to me via this. DHCP says, okay, I hear you, this is your IP, you can have it for this amount of time, and the process is completed. That's pretty simple.
Yep.
Also, a few services that run on NT systems are governed by hex codes. The messenger service is 0x03, or just 03. You have a server mode, which is 20, and workstation or client, which is 00. And at any time within a connection, one machine can be server, one machine can be a client. So they would negotiate that process between them, who wishes to receive and who wishes to send, via the hex codes. And that's governed by a 16-length character, and whichever one is going to be sending, it would say, I am 00, you are 03, let's talk, sort of thing. There's loads of different protocols. The first one, I think, was NetBUI, which was a non-routable protocol, and that doesn't actually route over it doesn't route over any sort of router. It would basically only broadcast out to a work group. Soon you needed routable protocols. That's how TCP/IP came along. Second of all would be authentication. Probably the most important part of a work group or a domain is DACL, which stands for discretionary access list. And DACL without an E and DACL with an E, discretionary access list, access control list, is governs which machine has access to which part on the network. Now this is also this is mainly in Windows networks where you have a SID, a security identifier. Now the size of it has 28 bits inside it, which lets the work group or domain kind of know what authority that machine has over which part of the share on the network. The domain controller has a managed SAM file, security access management file, on it that holds all the it holds the master copy of that inside a directory, and then if a computer was asking, I want to access this share, it will talk to the domain controller. It would say, yes, you're allowed to access this share, go ahead and do so. This is where I was talking before about managed and decentralized and centralized management in a work group. Everyone on that machine would have that SAM file separately, and it's a bitch to administrate because you have to do it on each machine, and then you have to make sure that it's all correct. So there is some good points of having a domain.
I see.
Yes.
You know, some of that I did not know.
Right, okay. That's good.
Very informative.
Now, getting into the juicy stuff, TCP/IP, the protocol suite. It's also referred to as the TCP stack. It has four assigned layers: the application layer, the transport layer, the internet layer, and the link. That is four? No. Yes. It is assigned by the DoD, the Department of Defense, when they were developing it in the 80s. By American administration, government, and organizations and stuff like that. It basically has a few protocols underneath it, which is the IP protocol, the Internet protocol, the ARP, Address Resolution Protocol, and ICMP, Internet Control Message Protocol, and... that's right. See, my notes are really, really messy. That's why I'm having to double read stuff.
Did you get UDP in there as well?
Yes, UDP as well. User Data Protocol. Now, I'll talk about the difference between TCP and UDP. TCP is a connection-oriented protocol, whereas UDP isn't, which means that UDP doesn't care if all that data got to you. It will just send it to you anyway. Whereas a TCP requests an acknowledgement of that you've received that data, and then it will send you more. The reason why UDP is good is for broadcasting, where you don't really give a shit if that data hasn't got there or it has. So there's a level of loss in UDP, whereas TCP will ask for a request back saying, yes, I've received that bit of data, and basically that goes on. So TCP can be a little bit slower, but it is the standard for most things. Also, you have for DSL and ADSL modems, PPP, which is point-to-point protocol, and ATM, which is asynchronous transfer mode. Basically, that is methods of getting one bit of data to the other bit of data through a different kind of medium. Right. Next section is all about IP addressing.
Hooray!
Now, IP addresses are made up of 32 bits. Each bit has 10 octets, and each octet has 8 bits inside it. Which means that they are split up by periods. So 192.168.0.0.0. Mm-hmm. And they're all governed by base 2, which is binary. Yay! See, when I was going through this in my head, I thought it would be much more interesting, but it sounds very boring.
I'm riveted.
They're all falling asleep.
It's about the same format as the A-plus certification exam.
Is it? Okay. These are just some notes I sketched down today. I thought it would be interesting if people, you know, if they didn't know about it, they could, you know.
But once you blow through it, we'll talk about it in a little more detail.
Definitely,
about,
yeah.
Like, practical application.
Yeah, sure. Well, okay, subnet masks. Basically, you can't have an IP without a subnet mask. I'm actually not going to read the show notes. I'm just going to talk it because it's probably easier that way. Now, what a subnet mask does is it defines where that IP is within that network. So it will tell you to work out which network ID that IP belongs to. Now, there's different classes of subnet mask. There's class A, class B, and class C. Bit like drugs. Class A would be your most lethal IP address on the 255.0.0.
Class A, are they guaranteed to be the best drugs?
Yeah, they're guaranteed to be the best IP addresses. Class B are a little bit watered down. They're on a 255.255.0.0 IP address. And Class C is probably your most basic private IP address on 255.255.255.0 IP address. That's basically that. I mean, you can't really go into that much detail. Now,
different class services.
Yeah, there's different...
Allow for more computers on the subnet.
Sure, yeah. So wherever it falls... Wherever that change falls in binary, you'd have more hosts and you'd have more clients. So you'd have more subnets and more hosts on wherever that falls. So if it was a 255, you'd have less subnets, but you'd have loads and loads of hosts. And that kind of goes on and more. But it's all down to the hierarchy of how you would set networks up. So let's say if you were doing basic networking troubleshooting, your first point of call would be to ping your local host, second to ping a local address, secondly to ping a router, and thirdly to ping a remote host. That's just the basic networking troubleshooting. Right. How much of the OSI structure do you know?
The OSI structure?
Yeah.
None.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the OSI model. It stands for Open Systems Interconnection. It was a standard made in 1977 by the ISO, International Standards Organization, and it basically splits up communication between your machine and other machines on a network. And it splits them up into the application layer, TCP/IP layer, and data layer. The application layer has three parts to it. It has the application, presentation, and session layer. The TCP/IP layer has transport and network parts to it. and the data has the data link layer and the physical layer. Now the ISO.
Oh, okay.
Now the OSI structure is just a theoretical model for reference. It's just a blueprint of how things could work. Basically, each part of the layers, application, presentation, session, transportation, network, and data link, and the physical is excluded from this. All that does is when data comes in at the top from into application, it is then encapsulated on each step. So it will basically add a little packet onto, it will add a little header onto each layer, and all that does is simply guides data through a network. That's all it does. It helps it across. It's just like lube. Obviously, there's different services that run underneath that. TCP, AT, FTP 21, and SMTP 25. That's just a few basic ones I sketched down so that people understand.
So it's basically a networking guideline for application.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
It explains how TTL works. So you would have different sections within a packet. So you'd have this header, destination address and source address, and then you'd have the data, and then you'd have a critical redundancy check, which is basically TTL. How long is this packet allowed to live? Total time allowed, something like that. That's, I think, it's, well, a critical cyclical redundancy check. That's what it stands for, pretty much.
Cyclical redundancy.
That's right.
I love that term.
Yeah.
Isn't it redundant?
Yes. Let's see what we can go through here. Is a planet still alive there?
Yeah, still here, man. What?
Seriously, I'm not going to be talking about fucking binary on radio. That would just kill it.
I just wanted to sit back and listen, basically, because brushing up on your network basics is always a good thing.
Sure.
I did do a lot of courses on it, and they were fascinating. But generally, out in the field, you don't get to use them.
Yeah.
So you kind of forget them a bit. So brushing up on them is essential.
Sure. Well,
I'm listening.
Cool, okay. Well, that's why I'm basically doing it, so that people can either pick up from it or just, you know, forget about this episode. Anyway, the way all this kind of works together, it's a huge kind of clusterfuck of different things. It's got to be somehow managed by some protocol to get everything to know where everything else is. Now, an old protocol called APIPA, A-P-I-P-A, is meant for small LANs, SOHO communities, or small office networks. It's not really widely used. The main one is RIP version 2, which is Routing Information Protocol. Basically, what that does is it would rebuild the network net BIOS names of each machine. So what it does is it maps your IP address to your host name and then creates a list of all that. So the second time you either ping or you call something by its host name, it doesn't have to go through all the process of trying to find your MAC address, trying to verify where you are, trying to ping you, and then getting the host name and then all that. So it just says, right, okay, I've done it once. I've remembered what you are, stored it. Next time, I don't have to do it again. That's basically what it does.
So it's a protocol that learns.
Sure, yeah. You've got RIP version 1, which is kind of shitty, RIP version 2, which is a little bit better, which is basically the standard now, RIP version 2. I mean, if you can tell me anyone else that uses RIP 1, then do so, but I haven't come across a network that uses RIP 1 or APIPA at all. A little bit about the domain structure. Trees and forests, it's all getting a little bit naturized. You have domain structures, which would be trees and forests. Now, this is just insanely fucking boring. of where a domain could span into another tree. Now, the forest would span into... Sorry. The tree would span into a forest. So you have one.com that is assigned to, let's say, my.com would be my tree. And then that can span into .www.france. That would be your forest. And you can have one forest but many trees. Well, shit, when I was writing this, I must have been high.
But it's, yeah, I think, but, so. You had trees on the brain.
But it's true. This is what it's called, and this is how it works. So, you know, fucking...
it's all a very complicated Venn diagram.
Yeah. Also, sorry, talking about RIP, it's also ARP that helps that along, Address Resolution Protocol. It basically matches your physical MAC address to your IP address and then talks back, and RIP all that does that, all that kind of shit. Back in the day with WINS, I don't know if you ever heard of WINS or if you ever used it before.
No, I have not.
WINS is an old school DNS kind of thing. It's actually called Windows Internet Naming System. Now, I want to find someone that can actually explain to me why it's called Internet Naming System, because it has nothing to do with internet. All that does is it maps all the internal DNS queries within itself, so it's got absolutely nothing to do with the internet, but it's called WIN, so it's made by Microsoft. What do you expect? I think I'm going to round that off up to here, because everything else is kind of going into much more detail about how time protocols work and all that kind of stuff. Unless you guys have any questions that you want to put forward to me, more than happy to answer.
No, I mean, a lot of the name resolution things, at least within my local networks, I don't even bother with. I just access through straight IP.
Yeah.
I give each host or each computer on the thing a name.
Yeah.
That's associated with the IP.
Sure.
So that when I query what IPs are on my network, I know which computer's which. But for the most part, I don't bother giving them their own name.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what basically that would take care of all that stuff for you in a domain or in a work group.
Okay.
Anything else from Planet at all?
No questions here, man.
Okay. Ah, I was so excited about this, and I was so like, yeah, networking, come on, let's get this out there. And then when I just saw these notes about RFC 1597 and all this kind of stuff, and I thought, wait, I'm going to be reading this out in the air, and now my voice is pretty dull as it is, but...
Oh, come on.
Okay, cool. Well, I've pretty much covered most of it. It's just a flavor of how it works. Let's go into depth of
all right,
what
well,
it all does.
Suppose you're out there and you're listening to the show and you really haven't done much networking.
Yeah.
The first thing that you really want to do as far as checking out your network structure is look around you and see what you've got plugged in.
Sure.
You know, if you're running the computer straight off the cable modem, then chances are your computer is going to be taking the IP that is assigned to the modem from your high-speed provider.
Yeah.
That's it.
So basically...
I believe it's a...
It's a DHCP talking to a DHCP.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's pretty simple as far as that goes. You figure out your IP, and there's really, you know, not much else to do as far as that network goes. Mm. Unless you want to start poking and prodding your ISP servers. Not quite recommended.
No. Now, just
I think that violates terms of service.
I just want to clarify a few things in networking terms. What hubs do and what switches do.
Okay.
Hubs broadcast everything that come into them. So let's say you have 6 nodes on a hub, and data comes in through node 6, and it's meant for node 2. all the rest of the nodes, including node 6, will get that data. But with the way that OSI structure works, is it will recognize if that packet is for it, and it will block it from the first layer, which is the data layer. So it will say, right, this isn't meant for me. It will read the first header of the packet and say, this is meant for someone else, I'll block it. And the person that's meant for, it will listen out to it and retrieve the packet. The way switches work is that the switch will find out by its own RIP methods of which IP is connected to which node. And then if node 6 sends a message to node 2, none of the other nodes will get that message apart from node 2. This is much better.
Which is also why that if you're on a switch network and you're trying to sniff packets,
you're going to have a hard time.
And you do not use any kind of ARP poisoning, you only get the packets that are coming in and out of your box.
You're going to have a pretty hard time to sniff stuff.
Yeah. However, you can ARP cache poison.
Yeah.
Which will then trick the switch into sending the packets your way as well as where it's supposed to go.
Sure. So that's basically hubs, switches, and routers. Now, routers are basically at the top of their top dog. What they do is they separate subnets. That's all routers do. That's basically the fundamental function of a router is to separate one subnet from another and link them together with rules. That's it. So one packet is meant to be blocked from this subnet, but only these packets can talk to this subnet. That's it. Do you want to go into a bit more detail?
Well, your average router out of the box, it will plug in, it plays just fine. They have a lot of security measures, such as a basic network address translation, or NAT firewall.
That's right.
Which you can configure to either send ports your way or block ports that way. You can tell it what IPs can and can't be accessed from the network or from individual hosts.
Yeah.
You can lock down the network, so it will only talk to specified MAC addresses, making it more difficult for somebody to just plug in and gain access. Although at home, that's really not too much.
Sure. But yeah, those would be advanced routers. They're multi-function routers.
Yeah.
The fundamental router, the tin box router, just basically separates IP addresses on a network. That's it.
Creates a subnet, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Sorry, separates subnets on a network. And then forwards them on or does all funky things to it. And then you would have that firewall on top of it. So that's for a corporate network. For a home user, everything is plugged into one thing.
Yeah.
Cool. What else?
The easiest way to find your router is to find your IP and then delete the last field there.
Yeah, and put a
and
1 in there.
1.
Yeah.
And that will typically give you an interface, depending on the router.
That's by default. Now, obviously, some people are a little bit cleverer than that, and they don't set their router as the 1. They set it as 5, 6, or a random number.
Yeah.
In saying that, that's very rare to find, because people are just lazy.
Well, it's easier to password protect than it is to set it up on a different IP.
But if you really want to be a bitch...
Sure.
Yeah.
If you really want to have it be a bitch, have it stumble through IP addresses.
Yeah, yeah. Have it change IP addresses every 30 seconds.
On some kind of crazy temporal algorithm.
Yeah, quantum.
With a secure ID card in your pocket to tell you what IP it's on at any given time.
Quantum mechanical IP address translation.
And have your passwords all be fingerprint or retinal based.
Yeah. Just to send a packet and receive a packet.
Yeah, you basically have to plug a monocle on.
Yeah. And
zap your eye with a laser 1,000 times a second.
And it all runs on a time-driven algorithm that only lives...
Preferably quantum-based.
Quantum-based, yeah.
It's 12 dimensions, not 5.
Yes.
5's too weak.
It's too weak these days, 5-dimension encryption, God.
Oh, I know. Also, if you're using
typical DSL or cable modem. You can access the web interface from that by default on the IP plus 100 instead of the 1. Let's see. For other types of routers, such as voice over IP router, there's two types. There's one that'll set up, act as a dual router and set up a subnet that the Ethernet ports that are on that will connect to.
Yeah.
But the voice over IP will be on the IP that's assigned to it, either by modem or router. Mm.
And you can also have a router acting as a switch at the same time.
Actually, most routers do act as a switch.
Yeah.
If they have multiple ports, yeah.
But
I haven't seen a hubbed router in a long time.
No. Well, I mean, I would say that's not a router anymore. That's a multifunction router.
Oh, okay.
If you were being a network...
I forgot we were talking about tin can.
Yeah, if you were being a network purist.
Okay.
A networking Nazi.
Well, I was trying to talk practically.
Sure, okay. Practically, it'll do everything out of the box.
Probably, but you might want to tweak it a bit.
Yeah.
For instance, for my voice over IP, I have it behind a router.
Yeah.
And I have to port forward a certain range to be able to... It helps the sound quality, and it also makes it so the phones ring.
Yeah.
Without it, I can dial out fine, but you get my voicemail every time.
Yeah, and also it's a good idea to split your home network up into different subnets. So if you have two layers or more, that's preferable. And also different levels of security.
On each layer, yeah.
On each layer. So you have maximum Nazi security at the front, and then lesser and lesser as you go down. And somewhere in the middle... Sorry?
I said, or you could just Nazi it all the way through.
Yeah, you could just Nazi it all the way through. Or you could, in somewhere in the middle, you want to put your VoIP in. That's what I do. I have it in the middle where my VoIP talking on a different subnet, on a different port, and then all this other shit goes through a different line.
Yeah, I actually have mine on the first layer, behind one router.
Right.
Otherwise, the port forwarding schemes become a little complicated. And since the voice over IP router that I usually talk onto only has the two phone lines, I'm not terribly concerned.
Sure. Well, there's different, you know, there's different ways for what you're trying to do. That's the you've got to configure it to what you're trying to do and how secure you want it to be. There's always
and also how comfortable you are with the different setup types.
Sure. Yeah. There's always different ways of doing things, and you've got to be reasonable with your security. You know, what's the point of it being so secure if you're really not really doing anything on that machine and you don't really care, sort of thing?
Because you're paranoid?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is that there's so many different ways to hook these things up.
Yeah.
You know, that really it comes down to assessing your needs.
Sure.
And your comfort level with network administration.
Exactly, yeah.
There's nothing more painful than having everything hooked up right, having it configured wrong, and then having to go and troubleshoot everything. Only to find a Cat 5 is unplugged.
Yes. Yeah, that's where the troubleshooting thing goes, is ping your local host first. Ping your local address... Ping a router, ping a remote address. That's the fundamental troubleshooting steps you can take. If you can't ping your local address, then there's something wrong. If you can't ping a local address on your network, then obviously your car's not plugged in. And also depends on which error you're getting. If you say timed out or not reachable, then there's different things in that as well to assess the troubleshooting process.
Yeah. If you find something's broke, check the cables first.
Yeah.
Always a good idea.
Always start with the cables. Always.
Yes.
Seriously.
The amount of times I've seen people go wrong with crossover and straight through cables. Mm. It's very simple, basically. Straight through, if it's connecting your computer to a device, to a networking device, that'll be a hub or a switch. If you're uplinking a switch to another switch, you need a crossover cable. If you're linking a PC, a NIC to a NIC, you need a crossover cable. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
No.
It's just not going to work.
Some switches do have automatic crossover ports.
Yeah.
So if you hook those in together with any old cable, it will sense what kind of cable it is and it will just start talking. So if you've got one of those, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that switch to switch to switch to switch, that's kind of an enterprise kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to bore people with.
And that's the kind of shit I'm used to on a day-to-day basis is...
Yeah.
Just where is my crossover cable, because I can't find it, because I can't connect to this and that. So, yeah. What else to talk about? Each device on a network would have some sort of access medium. It's usually through the serial port. You can actually get a telnet going through it. Sorry, it will be not a telnet, it will be a... God, what is it? The old school terminal session going through, where you load whatever's on the machine. It would have a login screen and then a basic Unix operating system on there itself. Mm-hmm. This could be a simple switch of maybe, you know, 25 ports will have this there. Now, these are enterprise machines. Your standard switch would probably not have that. If it's just a tin box with about five ports, it would just be a straight through switch.
I've got one that has a full duplex RJ11 for a terminal.
Oh right, okay.
Which is a fairly small switch, but it still has one.
Cool.
I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, they have a CPU in there. They probably have some sort of memory in there as well to store log files. It could be flash, or it could actually be a hard disk. Routers and firewalls, you'd be looking at a hard disk inside there, with a standard motherboard, a CPU, and all that kind of stuff. RAM as well. It would basically be a computer that's only meant to do one thing.
Mm-hmm. True. When you often open up a lot of these boxes, firewalls, switches and so on, even NAS boxes, or as also known SAN, which is network attached storage.
Right.
You'll be surprised how familiar it is on the inside, because it is really basically a cut down version of your PC. It's there with the motherboard, with the RAM,
yeah,
with its storage media. I've never found one with a hard disk. It's all been flash media.
Yeah.
But, you know, you open it up, it's like a tiny little PC.
Mm.
Now, all it's doing is a basic function. If it's a firewall, it's sending packets out, and it's keeping the bad guys from getting in. If it's a switch, it's doing the routing tables and saying, okay, yeah, I've got this packet, it needs to go to this guy, and he was over here on port 12 last time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try there first. Yep, he's still there. And basic shit like that. So it is a very tiny little PC doing a very simple function.
A firewall, very fast. A firewall would actually store a database on it of all the rules that you set, and it would query that database. It's pretty advanced shit, depending on which kind of firewall you get.
It does differ from manufacturer to manufacturer.
Definitely, yeah. So that is kind of hard to say, right? All firewalls do the same thing, yes, but they do it in different ways.
I mean, even software firewalls, they're pretty much the same thing. You run those on your PC with two network cards. You say, this network card connects to this network. This one connects to the outside world. Now, here are the rules. You know, the trusted network, that can do anything it wants. It can go out and request all kinds of data. But the external network, so I'm just hearing myself in the echo, so I don't know when I've quite finished talking. the external network, that can't do anything to come in. You know, we don't like those guys in the rest of the world. They can fuck off. If we go out and request data, when that data comes back, fine. Anyone from the outside world requesting data, no.
Yeah.
Unless you're running services.
Sure.
FTP, HTTP, and so on.
But then you would go ahead and open those things up.
You'd open those ports, and then the outside world can connect to your firewall. The firewall says, stop! Hammer time! Who are you?
What
do you want?
It would say something like this.
Stop! Hammer time!
Hell yeah! And if it's on one of the ports you've got open, it'll let it in. It'll have a network address translation rule set up.
Mm.
So it'll pass it on to a specific computer on your network.
Cool.
But that's software firewalls. That's also the same for hardware firewalls, because essentially they are the same thing.
Yeah.
They're all software firewalls running on a different kind of hardware.
Yeah.
Whether it's rack mountable and really small, tiny little PC in a cute little tin box.
Yeah.
Or whether it's an actual PC that you made yourself.
Yeah.
There's really no difference between the two.
But stay away from Windows firewalls.
Oh, yeah, not the basic Windows XP SP2 firewall.
No, I'm talking about...
That's not a firewall.
I'm talking about, like, Windows server firewalls, where you set the rules in AD and all that kind of stuff. Stay away from that. It's full of bugs, and it's very exploitable. Nobody ever fucking uses it, as far as I know. I hope nobody ever uses it.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah. I'm sure they do, because I had to fucking sit an exam on the bloody thing.
All right, well, the first problem we see here is you're using Windows.
Yes.
Let me fix that up right quick for you.
Yeah.
There's nothing on this hard drive you need, right?
Oh,
okay, bye.
Yeah.
Basically, what a firewall is, whether it be hardware or software, because I want to bring this point up because I've seen a lot of people confused that there is a big difference between the two.
Hmm.
It's basically kind of, it's like the customs when you go from one country to another. You can't just breeze right in. They stop you and say, who the fuck are you? What do you want? Why are you here? You know, who are you going to see? Where are you going to stay? What's going on? Whereas people going out the country, they're like, hey, go on, have a good time.
Fuck off.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah.
And when those citizens return, you just go up to customs and say, yeah, here's my passport, I live here. And they say, hey, come on in, welcome home, buddy.
Mm. So you obviously don't live in the US.
I don't, but I've been there. I saw the US returning citizens queue versus the foreign people's queue. And the US queue just went, boom, 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 boom. Come on in, come on in. Welcome home. They were fine. Yeah, it's the same as when I returned to the UK. You give them the passport, they go, hey, good to have you back.
Yeah.
Get in there. But when you go to a country where you're not from, you're interrogated and you have your bloody fingerprints taken now.
Mm.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So that's like you trying to get into a country or a network, if you will, where you're not expected and you're not kind of welcome. So they stop you, they interrogate you, and if you're a bad packet or you're a terrorist, they turn you away. They
I like say, that. Bad
packet. Are you a terrorist?
Yes. Oh shit, no.
Blue, I mean yellow.
Right, that would be a good handle, bad packet.
Bad packet.
Yeah.
Who's got the Monty Python firewall?
Yes. Cake or I'm death?
I have a firewall. We'll ask you these questions three.
Yes.
What is your IP? What IP are you trying to read? What is the average airspeed velocity of an unladen African swallow?
African or European?
I said African!
Oh, damn it! so yeah, firewalls, they're basically like customs, whether they're software or hardware. Don't be fooled into some
fingers
slick
up your
salesman.
Ass.
Yeah. Don't be fooled into some slick salesman saying, you got to have a hardware firewall. It's this, it's that.
Yeah.
It's really secure. You can do the same shit with open source software on a Linux box that will basically interrogate anything going out and anything trying to come into your network.
Hmm.
So that's what firewalls are.
Cool. Also, bandwidth. That's not how much speed you have. That's how much allowance you have to use the amount of transfer you have. Do you see what I mean? That's quite a major misconception is, I've got loads of bandwidth, or I've got little bandwidth. It means how much transfer you can have of data. So if you had 50 gigabytes of bandwidth, you could only use 50 gigs.
Is this in normal networking? Or kind of using hosted servers?
Anything.
Because it sounds like when you sign up for a hosted server and they say, oh, you got 50 gig of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Which means you can transfer a total of 50 gig to and from that server. And when that runs out, you're fucked. But if you were just using, say, two PCs connected via a switch, they're not going to have any bandwidth problems. It depends on how fast the switch is. Let's say 10, 100, 1 gigabit switch. If the cards are the same, that's your bandwidth. You know, you're not going to hit a monthly allowance or anything on that, you know, so...
But that would be
how much
trying to clarify your point.
You could upgrade.
Could do.
Yeah.
Sounds well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to step off.
Okay.
Are you masturbating?
No, my family just got here. I was just sparring with my little brother.
Okay.
Is that what
apparently,
you're
calling? I telecast my back jump spin kick.
It sounds like you've
been crescent, he corrects me.
It sounds like you were chased by a dog or something.
I was. It's my little brother.
Have him put down.
Hey, Joe, you want to say hi? London.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Belial.
This is Joe.
Greetings from England.
Yes.
The echo is kind of frightening.
Echo!
Who is this?
This is Belial.
And this is Belial? The FBI.
Yes.
Oh. Well, I'll give you back to Josh. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Don't give out his real name.
Yeah, I know, right?
How many
You're
times have you dropped your dox?
That's all right. That was already dropped a while ago.
Yeah. You're either dropping your own dogs or like somebody else's.
I know, it's horrible. There goes my super secret sexy identity.
Yeah.
It's a good job you're not Superman. We'd figure
that
out.
Oh my god,
the
black
seconds.
Vans are here.
What the fuck?
Oh, that's a pack of dogs.
Sounds like you're living
on a gun chasing me yet,
on a farm or something.
Actually, not far from it.
Okay.
It's only a few acres, but it's pretty nice. Actually, I guess I don't have to leave. Everybody left me, so.
Aww. They don't like you.
They're probably wondering why you.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, they're wondering why you're talking for an hour on the phone about computers.
With two guys whilst breathing heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, NIC. Oh.
TCP/IC/VR.
I think I can see your IP TCP.
Oh, buffer overflow. Oh.
Oh. Too much data! It'll do it every time. Thank God my fiance is asleep.
Oh, dear.
Yes, yes. Well, what are you going to do?
So, is there anything more that we can add, or shall we close it off here?
I think that should be about all for now. Bye for me, anyway.
Cool. Okay. What about
you? Can't think of anything that I didn't cover.
The website should be up soon. We say that every time. That's all down to Scobie.
Yeah.
Second of all, the next 2600 meeting, the next mid-month meeting is on the 7th of September. No.
Yeah.
It's today.
No. I'm wrong there. Let me recalculate. 15th, it's on the 16th of September. Oh. So do come down, join us, and we'll have a laugh. Hopefully, it will be in the Bricklayer's Arms. That's where it was all covered by the Asterix. It's actually the Bricklayer's Arms, I believe. It might not be there. It might be somewhere else. So do check us out. Do check the forum out. Do check IRC app. Forum? No, it's not up yet. The
website. We don't have one.
We will do soon.
We do. You just can't use it.
Yeah. Cool.
You know, just post porn in there and shit like that. Crap jokes and knob gags.
Computer porn.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, show me your motherboard.
How big's your hard disk, baby, huh?
I'd like to show you my fat pipe.
Offline.
All right, well, I gotta go.
Cool.
I've been Ionic.
Yes, you have.
And you've been great.
I've been Belial.
And I've been Planet Lave.
Good night.
As always. Good night.
Open your eyes, look look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, boy, because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anywhere the wind blows, just a